Welcome back to the Movie Draft House. I'm your host, Mark, joined by co-host Jeff.
Hello there. What a day we have for us.
You know, the days run together when you watch good movies. But before we dive into what we watched this week, we must plug music. And this month, during Back to School month, the month of August of year of our Lord 2022, okay. We appreciate the band Speakeasy with their song Enemy for allowing us to use their music on the podcast. You can find all their music wherever you get your music from. Be sure to hit the show notes. You can catch all the links to all of their stuff, especially their socials. We want to give a shout out to them. Jeff, what do you think of their music?
You like music? I really like it. You do it every month. You keep finding good stuff, and I enjoy it very much. So
they remind me of a. You ever heard of the band Flyleaf?
Yes, I've heard of Flyleaf.
Yeah, it's kind of what the band gives me the vibes of.
Flyleaf. Yeah.
Be sure to throw them a follow, like, or subscribe, and we appreciate them. So, Jeff, here we are in week two of...
We're back at school. It's our sophomore week.
Yep.
Oh, we should just call it... Oh, I just came up with that. It was freshman week last week. Just out of nowhere.
Yep. Just make sure we stick with it. Be consistent. So, what did we watch this week?
We watched World's Greatest Dad from 2009, starring the late, great Robin Williams, directed and written by Bobcat Goldthwait, who you don't know who he is. And he has a cameo in this movie, and I'm wondering if you clocked it.
I did.
You did? You actually did?
Yeah, no, he was the chauffeur.
Okay.
Later in the movie.
No, okay.
I know who Bobcat Goldthwait is, even though he's
got
a terrible name.
You didn't last week.
I mean, after last week, I looked him up.
Oh, okay. So don't come in here acting like, what are you? Yeah, you didn't last week.
I mean, it's a cool name, but then it's also a kind of a dumb name.
It's Bobcat. An awesome name.
Goldthwait.
Goldthwait's awesome, but then to go
I think
by
Bobcat's
Bobcat?
Awesome. No, Bobcat's awesome. Yeah. Goldthwait's kind of like, eh. The IMDb synopsis for this film. When his son's body is found in a humiliating accident, a lonely high school teacher inadvertently attracts an overwhelming amount of community and media attention after covering up the truth with a phony suicide note.
So that tells you too much, in my opinion.
I agree.
You asked me to read that. I think it was the draft week or whatever. And I knew what was going to happen to his son. Because there's only one thing that makes sense for him in that situation for him to have died of, where you would need to make up a suicide note. It basically the entire plot. I think the movie really would have been cool to go into it not knowing that as I started watching it, that his son was not going to be at the end of the film. I think it would have changed things, and it would have come as a shock a bit, you know, like as to where's this movie going? What's happening? It would have had me on edge a little bit. Like if he dies, I'm like, okay, now what, you know, but I think because these synopses are so thorough now and concise at the same time, it's kind of,
damn it. The
kind of a bummer. Yeah, it's like movie trailers. There was a trailer for some horror movie that my buddy Jason sent me. I'm like, that looks good, but I just feel like I watched a whole damn movie already. Like, leave some mystery, especially like with this, you know? I mean, I don't know. I feel like it was spoiled just a touch, you know? Like, what would be the biggest shocking moment in the film was something I'm like, oh, here it is. Here it comes. Like, I knew exactly when it was going to happen, you know, and it just kind of,
sure you weren't faked out at the first one.
Maybe. Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. I think at the first, I'm like, this is kind of early and weird, but at the second one, it wasn't a shock at all.
All right, so Robin Williams plays the dad, the
Lance
world's
Clayton.
Greatest dad. And his son is a vastly unlikable teenager played by Daryl Sabara.
Daryl Sabara.
Daryl Sabara is?
Owns this film. I don't know who he is.
He's Lava Boy.
I don't care.
In Lava Boy and Shark Girl, okay?
That's great for him.
No. Is he the Spy Kid?
He's Spy Wait. Kids when I clicked the link. And apparently Polar
Is that Lava
Express?
Boy and Shark Girl, though?
But
Wait,
you,
I'm
I've
confused.
Never seen any of them.
I don't
but
know
he is
which
Spy
is
Kids.
Which. He is Spy Kids, okay.
And okay. This is, I don't know if there's any people who, like kids that went to the movies, like, I love Spy Kids, and then went to go see this. Oh, my God. Yeah, so Kyle Clayton is the son of Robin Williams of the movie, played by Daryl Sabara. And Daryl Sabara is pitch perfect as the worst teenager in the world. I hated his guts.
Yeah, no, he is awesomely terrible. And
that makes it sound like he's bad acting, but no. I know what you mean. He's deliberately the worst person.
And you know, Robin is a single dad, and I don't remember if like him and his ex-wife got divorced or she died. I don't
remember them saying.
Yeah, I don't remember. I want to say that she died, but I'm not sure, so whatever.
Well, that would explain. Well, I mean, either way, like if there's abandonment, it explains why his son acts the way he does.
Yeah.
But, you know, but mom is not in the picture.
So Robin Williams is a high school English teacher, and he teaches at his son's school, and he is a kind of just take his lumps guy. Life's dealt him a rough hand, and he's just taking his licks. And
he's kind of a bit of a pushover, and not even just with his son, but very much
with everybody.
Yeah, have you've seen the film Me, Myself, and Irene, right?
Yeah.
He's basically Jim Carrey in that movie. Like, he's just so, everyone just kind of walks all over him, and he's too polite to do
anything.
He's
Jim Carrey, not the Highway Patrol trooper.
Huh? The Highway Patrolman is who he is. Jim Carrey plays in that. He's not the alter ego.
Not the alter ego, right. That's what I meant.
He's the pushover who eventually snaps. But he's that guy who just everything people keep it on him, and he never stands up for himself or has any comeback or anything else. He has no self-esteem.
Yeah, and I he's a aspiring writer. We learned early on he teaches poetry. Yeah, he has a extracurricular poetry class that only like three people attend, and. You know, we see from very early on that he's written a bunch of novels,
all kinds of works. He's
submitted for publishing, and it just, you know, nobody's published his stuff. And he lives with his son, and his son is a 15, 16 year old kid, and
with raging hormones.
Yeah,
this kid is horny.
And we learn almost right away that his son has like a...
He's a freak, bro. He's a freak. He comes to school and he's got one friend. And his friend's name is Andrew, played by Evan Martin. And he's like, look at this shit, bro. And he opens up like a folder. I don't know what year this is, but it's definitely like late 90s, maybe early 2000s, because he's printing off porn as opposed to showing on his phone. So... You know, he's got a flip phone in this movie, so I don't know what year that puts this at.
Early 2000s, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, this came out in 2009, and I can't remember. I mean, the iPhone was out by then, right? I mean...
iPhone came out in 2008, I believe.
Okay, well, maybe it wasn't as prevalent, but he's got a monitor. His monitor on his computer is one of the tubes. Like, it's big. He gets a new one, though. Anyway, so he brings this like porn he's printed off, and he shows, look at this shit, Andrew's from whatever country, you know, Russia, I think. And Andrew's like, ugh, what? And it's apparently like poop porn. Yeah. He's like, that shit is so hot.
They talk about chili dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what a chili dog is?
I don't want to know. Are you sure? Outside of the food, I mean, it's expressive enough, right? It's a dick in some buns with some slop on top. You know, I mean, that's probably what it is. But he's ridiculous.
It's a buns with some slop on top.
I dig it. I mean, if I'm thinking of what the actual entree is.
What an actual chili dog looks like.
Right. And then trying to interpret that into the bedroom.
And it doesn't have to be in the bedroom.
Between
be the
buns
kitchen.
With some slop on top, you know?
No, like, so, what's the kid's name?
Kyle.
He is just, he hates his dad, or he says he hates his dad. He, you know, they're in the car going to school one day, and Robin Williams' character is playing, what's the guy's?
Oh, what was his name? Let me find it. Damn. That, yeah.
Some just like mellow
really,
music.
Yeah, like real things that are music. Uncool, like really mellow kind of soft rock.
And
Bruce Hornsby, who's a real Bruce person. Yeah.
And
apparently,
he makes a cameo in the movie. So.
Yeah, the actual
Bruce
Hornsby. Composer? Does he actually make music?
I would assume.
Well,
he
says it's a he's a composer, but.
Well, he probably composes music too, but.
Okay, I guess you got me there. But I'm going to look up, see if I can find any on like music sites. Yeah, here we go.
But, so they're going in they're riding in the car, and Robin Williams is playing Bruce Hornsby, and his kid Kyle's like, what the fuck is this shit? Turn this shit off. And like he turns the music off, and Robin Williams is like, no, we're gonna listen to the thing I want to listen to. He turns it back on, and like Kyle's like, bro, why are you so fucking lame? And like, so what this one thing I get, but I didn't like, there's a lot of homophobic slurs in this movie.
Well, that's him. That, like,
yeah.
I mean,
but I also think it was maybe the time.
I don't think so. I could be wrong, but I think that the character is so vile and uncomfortable with his own, I don't know, like, anything he doesn't like, he uses the other
right,
F
he demeans.
Word for.
Yeah.
And he, and to me, it fits the character. It is a bit heavy. Like, he uses it a lot.
Right.
But I don't think it's portrayed as a good thing. Like, if you watch a movie like, help me out, Django Unchained, there's white people using the N-word. And while it's, you don't like hearing it, you know, it fits the character and the time, and it makes sense. And I think Kyle using the other F word is just what his character would do. He has no friends. He's isolated himself. His dad doesn't even like him. He's the kind of guy who would act like that.
Yeah. No, I get that. And I do agree. I do think it was a bit heavy. Like, he could have said it a couple of times, but he kept saying it. And I was like,
yeah, you know, like, it was over and over, which made me wonder if he, like, because it tends to, in my opinion,
he may have been gay.
Right. When the type of person who calls everything else gay is like covering up for their insecurities about their own sexuality. But that, I don't think that was the case.
There's probably a discourse for this movie where he may have actually been gay. But like, cause he's so over the top, Kyle, that is, he's so over the top, with his overt horniness.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
he's a perv. Like, he's crazy. I mean, like, they go to dinner one time with Rob Williams has this love interest, who's also a teacher at the school. And, Mrs. Reed, Claire Reed, and Kyle the whole time is under the table taking pictures up her skirt. He's that kind of kid.
With his flip phone.
With his flip phone. I mean, granted, they're not the best pictures.
But, like, so, you know, Robin Williams is, he's got this, like, at the beginning of the movie, he's got this secret romance with this other teacher, Claire Reed. And they're kind of keeping their romance a secret because they don't want anybody to find out because they don't, it would be frowned upon and all this. But he's so, like, all shucks and just taking his lumps and letting everybody walk all over him that there's this other teacher. I forget who
the cool teacher.
The cool guy.
Yeah,
Mike
Lane is the character's name, played by Henry Simmons, who is the cool teacher. He's the guy, like, everybody goes to his class. Even, like, when I think it was a great introduction to his character. When Lance first gets to school, you see him. And this kind of is a running thing. There's, like, three stages in Robin Williams' life in this movie, or at least his arc, where when he first gets to school, you sort of see the state of norm where some people say hi, he's friendly with the teachers, but the students just kind of don't care, except for maybe some geeky ones. And in this first part where he comes in, the cool teacher, Mike Lane's like, hey, Lance, you know, good to see you. Like, he just does the perfect buddy-buddy, make-you-feel-good kind of thing. I don't know. Like, he nails the cool teacher to me.
And we find out that old cool teacher Mike Lane has gotten published by the New Yorker.
Yeah.
And it just kind of rubs it in, not like purposely, I don't think.
Nobody does it on purpose. It's right. Just like he's, you know, it's the first thing I submitted and it got picked up. And here's Lance not getting picked up for anything he's ever written.
Right. And so, like, he grows to resent Mike's character. And then his secret girlfriend, Claire Reed, he thinks is having feelings for the cool teacher, which...
Why wouldn't you?
Right. Well,
Robin Williams is in his, like, 60s here. He's graying. And Claire Reed is in her 30s, maybe. Like, she's young and attractive, and he's, you know, an old man. And
well, but I also think the movie does a good job of throwing those situations in Lance's face.
Yeah, and
as,
I also
as a way to kind of make him doubt himself.
Yeah, and I think they do a good job too with the relationship between Claire and cool teacher Mike Lane of right. having you not really know.
Right.
If there is anything going on, and it kind of would play into his insecurities, like, oh, here's this cool, tall, handsome looking guy, Mike Lane, and here I am, frumpy dad. Why would this young, attractive woman want me?
Yeah. So, Robin Williams' character ends up telling his son Kyle, hey, I want you to come to dinner, with, you know, me and my girlfriend, you know, she really wants to meet you, whatever, whatever. And they are at the mall or what?
No, they're at some sort of like Italian restaurant or something.
Yeah. And that's when he takes the picture underneath. But, this is where, like, in the movie, Lance seems to, like, everything seems to be going his way.
Yeah, and he's on the verge of getting laid.
Right, and, like, you know, you see the, like, he's the crescendo of his arc. It's almost reached the pinnacle, the top of where it's going to be. And he tells his son, Kyle, he goes, hey, I'm going to drop you off, and then I'm going to take Claire home.
And his son's like, you got to hit that, Dad.
Right. And it's like him and his son are having this bonding moment. And it's the only bonding moment that they have in the movie.
The only thing that his dad ever does that he's respects is he's like, right. You got to go get laid, Dad.
So we failed
like
to mention.
Not even, nobody, like, how often do you want to sit there and talk about your dad getting laid? Nobody does. Like, I never want to know. I don't want to know. And yet this kid is like, Dad, go get it. Right. Yeah. Well, what a weirdo.
You know, we didn't mention early on is that the kid is into some kinky shit.
Yeah,
he likes the...
What do they call it? What's the term?
Asphyxiation, masturbation asphyxiation?
There's a term for it.
Yeah, I don't know.
You
choke yourself out while you're jerking your dick.
While he's baiting. And his dad walks in on him.
Right, and early in the movie, his dad walks in on him, and he's like, "What the fuck?" And
yeah, like, he's like,
the kid comes back, and he's like, "Dad, shut the fucking door."
It's like, "What are you doing? I'm coming." this is bad. And he's like, "Get out of here, you freak!" And he's like, "I'm the freak."
So that establishes early on the relationship plus Kyle's like pervy, freaky, horny nature.
See, and had it just been that, right? And you don't know. You like the synopsis says Kyle's gonna die, and you don't know. Like, had it just been that, it still would have been kind of a shock. Well, one thing is the way he does it, autoerotic asphyxiation.
That's what it is. Yeah.
It looked like a safe thing. Like, he could easily relieve the pressure if he needed to, but I guess not. I mean, I don't know anything about it. It's not my thing. More of a butt guy, but
yeah.
So he
JCVD month coming soon.
Oh, baby, you can lay on there. Yeah, and so of course this comes back, right? This is when I read that synopsis, whatever week it was, I immediately thought, oh, he's died of autoerotic asphyxiation. It's the only thing that makes sense as to why you would need to doctor up a suicide note to fake this as anything other than an accident is if it's that. And lo and behold, that's what happens.
So, you know, Robin Williams takes Claire home, and he doesn't even end up getting laid.
Yeah, bro, come on, man. Like, I know he's like... I know he's trying to do right by his son.
He's like, I promised we'd watch a movie or whatever.
And yeah, his son's like, Dad, no. Like, I don't get this because, all right, like now granted, I think it would change things like had he stayed and he gets home and his son is dead, he might feel guilty for staying. Oh, I could have stopped it or whatever. I actually like the fact that he goes right home because it keeps that from being a subplot.
Right. Well, and I think the motivation and the writing behind him choosing to do that is because he felt the connection that he had with Kyle right before he went to take Claire home.
Yeah.
They were bonding. They had this moment. And he hadn't felt that, or at least the movie hadn't portrayed that. And so I got it. I 100%. Like, was on board with it is because he's like, oh, you know, let me go home and be with my kid who finally like showed me some like goodwill. And you know, he gets home and he goes into his son's room and he's like, hey, Kyle, you want to watch that movie? And he finds him dead. And I thought this scene was really fantastic from Robin Williams. It's the only scene in the film where it requires like head on acting, I think.
Yeah, he's largely internal type of character where he doesn't say a lot, and when he does, it comes out in whispers.
Did you get the song that was playing?
I remember it being apropos, but I can't think of any lyrics.
It had to do with death. But like, I thought it was like really on the nose. But like the whole entire scene is a montage. There's no voice in it. And you see Robin Williams just like lose it at the sight of his dead son. And then, you know, the camera pans to like showing him dead because he choked himself out and while looking at porn, and like Robin Williams falls to the floor and is just beyond himself. And then you see him pull this kid's pants up. And then you see him just sitting on the floor. In his room.
And then he gets on his computer and he sees the photos that he's taken of Robin Williams' girlfriend from underneath the table. And I thought that was like kind of the craziest thing, right? He just lost his son. He's heartbroken. And now he just gets another glimpse into how much of a shithead he is, you know? And that was such a real moment, you know? Like, I'd hate to, you know, like, sometimes you have to look on their computer, you're like, oh, shit, he was a drug trafficker or whatever, you know, something horrible.
A serial killer.
Yeah, and it's just like, fuck. Now, it's just crazy. I kind of laughed because I'm like, damn, like nothing goes right for Lance. And then like his son just died. He gets on the computer. He's like, oh, fuck this kid.
Yeah. And so he decides that he's going to save him. I think this is largely a self-preservation from Robin Williams' character, where he writes the letter. He wasn't doing it for his son. He was doing it for him. And he writes a suicide note that is the greatest thing he's ever written. And he hangs his, like, he carries his son's body to the closet, and he stages like his son hung himself from, you know, a clothes bar.
Real quick, let's head over to the police corner.
Yeah, let's do it.
Is what Robin Williams does here illegal?
Technically yes, because he tampered with a dead body. But no, also no, is because it was a suicide, and a coroner, a medical examiner would be able
deem
to
deem it as such.
Yeah. A medical examiner would have been able to tell the ligature marks from the angle of how Kyle originally died, as opposed to him hanging.
Yeah, I mean, just more covering up.
Yeah, no, for sure. If
like, I don't think the Robin police Williams wanted, clearly not guilty of murder, but just certainly messing with the scene. But it's also not a scene of a crime, you know. Like, I don't. That's why I'm kind of wondering.
Well, every death is a crime until it's not.
Okay, that's good to know.
I mean, you treat every dead body like it's a homicide until it's not.
That, yeah.
But I think, you know, it depends on, and like, I don't really think any police agency would seriously consider criminal charges against a grieving father that's just trying to, at the moment, save his family embarrassment. But we see Robin Williams, like, I didn't like how he's standing on the balcony as the medical examiner's wheeling his son's dead body into the, like, if you're a parent, you're probably down, like,
I don't know, I
on the,
like,
ground.
And grief is different for everyone. I
sure,
don't know.
No, I get it, but like, he was very, I mean, and I guess that maybe on purpose because he was so detached from his son. And maybe that was meant to showcase just how detached he was, is that just how far away from the hearse or whatever he actually was. But anyways, so that's like the midway point of the movie.
Yeah, so there's another character we haven't gotten into, who is the neighbor, who is this elderly lady, Bonnie, who's played by Mitzi McCall, who lives next door and is spied on several times by Kyle Clayton, again, the son who's at this point now dead, but previously in the film he was watching her change. And, you know, Robin Williams is very open with her. He's like, hey, when you're changing, you probably want to close your window because I caught my son staring at you, you know? And she's like, oh, okay. Like, they actually have, in their brief interactions, the most genuine relationship, right? And I think that's a theme in the movie where they're not lying to each other. It's just, like, how hard is that for you to tell someone, my son's spying on you? And she's just like, she didn't make a big deal of it. And then you see later he's spying on her again, and she's deliberately, like, hamming it up. And then she gives him the middle finger. It's great.
Yeah. Like, when I think
Kyle's like, oh, God.
Well, yeah, and he's so, like, horny that anything will do.
Yeah.
But I think, like, Lance's relationship with Bonnie is... That was her name, right? Bonnie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Their relationship is, like you said, the most genuine. It's because we learned that she's got her own issues.
Right. And I loved that. So that's my favorite scene in the movie is they, you know, this is just before I think he dies. Maybe after. Yeah. After
he goes inside her apartment.
Yeah. And he comes.
Yeah.
He was outside smoking pot and she was like, you know, I'll take some in brownie form because of my asthma. And so he comes over afterwards with brownies in hand and is like, hey, I really just need to talk. And she's like, I'll come over there. No, you know, there's too many memories in my house. And she's like, well, if you come in, you can't tell anybody. And right. Bonnie is a hoarder. She hoards newspapers and they're stacked up everywhere. And she's really embarrassed. And there's no judgment from Robin Williams' character here. He's just like, oh, okay. You know, and he goes about, he just needs someone to talk to. And again, I think I think this is Bobcat Goldthwait showing people what a real relationship is. And it's when you're being honest with each other and you're bearing your ugly stuff. And I think both of those characters in that moment are doing that.
And like, that's a good point is because I also think that's a turning point in the movie with Lance's character is where he becomes more okay with where he's at. And that's also aided by the faux suicide note that he wrote. But, you know, his relationship and easygoing personality with Bonnie helps bring that out in him. And then, you know, then in the movie we see at the high school where what's the principal's name?
Principal Dingus.
It's actually Principal Anderson.
Oh, close enough.
He's played by Jeff Pearson, who's very good. I thought his stoic, like, I've seen this guy in other stuff. I just don't know who he is. But he plays the principal, and he's just very not. He does not run a good school.
Well, no, and he kind of, and this is what you kind of get now, is that all of these relationships that he has, that Lance has, are kind of surface level and fake. Right. Like the relationship with the principal, the relationship, his dating relationship, because you know he starts to see, you know, Mike and Claire hanging out together. And again, they don't really say, I'll get to it, but you know, he sees them at the mall together and she calls and he's like, hey, where were you? Oh, I was at the mall with Mike, you know, immediately, no big deal. So you're like, oh, okay. You know, she's just got a friend, a male friend, but there's moments where this letter, this suicide letter comes out, right? It gets printed in the newspaper and apparently it's the most profound thing ever. Everybody loves it. And now everybody remembers Kyle fondly. Oh, Kyle was great. I loved Kyle. He's the best. Who knew that Kyle was so deep? And
except his best friend, Andrew.
Yeah. Andrew, his best friend, the guy who's like knows that the kid was into shit porn, is the only guy who's not buying this.
Right.
But, and then Claire is like, you know what? I want to take our dating to the next level. Let's go public. Cause they were hiding their relationship. And there's a scene where you can see Mike in the background being like, Oh, he was looking at her in the way that Robin Williams was looking at her when she was with Mike. And it kind of was like, yeah, she is playing both sides of the field, in my opinion.
Right. And then we also see that Lance's poetry extracurricular class, it's jam-packed with students now. And,
yeah.
And Mike's class is got two people in it. And, you know, it's just Lance has kind of become the cool teacher because of his son's death. And, you know, he soaks it in. He's, you know, he's hamming it up.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to teach poetry. So he's like, right. Everybody's like, what was Kyle into? So he's like, Kyle liked poetry. Oh, what kind of music did Kyle like? Metal? No. He liked, what was the guy's name?
Bobcat Goldthwait.
That's Bruce Hornsby. He likes Bruce Hornsby. And so all the kids now are into Bruce Hornsby. And right. So it just continues down this road of just building up these false relationships around lies. And then he writes the journal, the supposed quote unquote journal of his son. And that gets published. And now he's going on Dr. Dana's, which is essentially like Oprah, Dr. Phil kind of blended together. And to talk about his son, which is a great scene because he's like making up this stuff about his son being deep and thoughtful, and he's anything but. He's the worst kid. He's the most shallow kid. And Rob Williams is actually laughing as he's telling these lies on TV.
It's I thought like the so Claire is riding Lance's coattails in this moment.
Definitely, yeah.
They almost miss like pre-production meeting of the show because Claire can't decide on what to wear. And we see Lance just kind of like, you know, being subservient to Claire in this moment. And we don't really see him be the kind of the alpha character that his fake suicide note allowed him to be at the school until he gets on the show and the show host asks him. And Bobcat Goldthwait plays the chauffeur.
Yeah, it's a very bit part, and I was just like, oh, there he is.
No, but he said he has a pretty meaningful sentence of dialogue, and I'm trying to remember what it was when they're sitting on the bed between Robin Williams and this guy Bobcat, but I remember it being like kind of geared towards, you know, hey, why are you going on the show? And he's like, oh, my kid died. And Bobcat says something like, oh, them's the breaks or some shit, I don't know.
Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah, I'm glad you could regale us with it.
But so like, Lance goes on the show and the show host asks him, hey, tell us about, Kyle or whatever he said. And Robin Williams makes a decision that he's gonna, was it on the show that he,
they were
dedicating the library.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he goes on the show and he just kind of, you know, regurgitates the spiel that he's created about how great Kyle was.
And the cracks are showing now in his sort of sanity.
And so then he, you know, he gets back to wherever they were from. I don't even know if we ever got.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. Some small town.
And we find out that as soon as he gets back to school, the principal comes to Lance. He's like, hey, we're going to dedicate the library in Kyle's honor. And someone was going to be in attendance.
Yeah.
At this.
Bruce Hornsby.
Well, yeah.
Bruce Hornsby was there.
Not just Bruce Hornsby. It was somebody from the publishing company or that was going to publish.
Yeah, they were there. There was the trio of publishers that one guy he met on the show brings them to the whatever you call it, because they're like, hey, they want to publish the diary and they want to publish some of your work. And this breaks his brain or something. I'm not sure.
Well, and like, so he's got to say like three words about Kyle in front of all the small crowd that is there for this dedication. And he decides, nope, I'm just going to come clean. And he tells everybody he wrote.
He gets tired of everybody like, oh, I loved Kyle. Kyle was the best. And it's like he keeps hearing this, but he's like, I was the only one who actually had to deal with Kyle, me and Andrew.
Right.
You know, like everybody else never had to mess with this dude. And he just kind of is over it.
Yeah, and we find, and like, I should have mentioned this before, but the character, Andrew's character, doesn't have a dad.
And his mom's like an alcoholic.
And like Kyle makes fun of him for it.
Great friend.
Early in the movie. And all Andrew does is like, he comes over and he's like, hey, Mr. Lance, you got anything to eat?
I'm a vegetarian. Like, the thing is, it's as dysfunctional as the Clayton household is, it's better than where kid Andrew lives. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, fast forward back to this dedication moment. It's like everybody, and you see it, and the movie does a good job of kind of everybody turning back, like essentially Cinderella turning into a pumpkin, and you know, everybody turning back against Lance in the moment.
Oh, it's a great scene because he goes, he just starts off. He's like, "You guys didn't like my son. I didn't like my son.
All right.
But I loved him. He was my son. But he was a douchebag."
And then he takes off running.
Well, he goes, and I wrote the note. I wrote the journal. Goodbye.
And he takes off running and he like strips down and you see him. And we learned early on that he was a diver in college, I think.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah. And so that like when he goes up to the diving board at the school pool, you know, he jumps off. There's some symbolic meaning to that.
Right, and I don't know what it is either, because I thought this was weird.
It was weird, and you see Robin Williams' dong silhouette.
The dong radar was needed for this film.
Which, I mean, I think this, like, we got late, so 2009, he died in 2015. I think from like 2005 to 2015, Robin Williams was just making the movies. I think that maybe he thought he needed to make. I don't know.
The tale, I saw this on one of the Amazon, you know, like fun facts, trivia.
Yeah.
And apparently he was just going to play a part, like a bit part, because he's friends with Bobcat. But apparently he was so impressed with the script that he decided to take the main role. The titular role, if you will.
The titular. That's interesting because, like, you wouldn't think, because this is not an overtly funny film.
No, it's a dark comedy. Comedy is very light.
Right. It's very dark. But, like, and a lot of the comedic value comes from Sabara or whatever the guy's name.
Well, it's even more just situations. Like, it's like, wow, this is crazy absurd, you know, like, I don't know. Like, there's no one-liners or jokes or it's just more of like, wow, this is the weirdest thing.
Yeah. And so at the end of the movie, Robin Williams dives into the pool. He's naked. And then the movie kind of ends him coming up out of the water, which is an old trope of, you know, movies do their characters are being reborn.
Yeah, I did not like this part. I really felt like it was just too poetic. And I guess he's a poet, but it just was like so heavy-handed and dumb. I really didn't like he's literally at a school with minors and he's skinny dipping. I don't even have to go to the police corner to tell you that's problematic. His ass would be arrested. Okay. What I thought he should have done is, and maybe it would be too movie, whatever, But it's just gone right to Bonnie's house because you tell he had to postpone this zombie movie marathon.
Well, that's the end of the movie. Is
but he ends up going there. But why does he take a detour to Skinny Dip at school?
That's the rebirth. I don't know.
I don't care. It's dumb. It's really stupid. Right. And it's...
It was
the worst
was
part
of
the movie to me.
Yeah,
was like,
it was a weird kind of aside to
it was
character.
Eye-rollingly bad. And not even like... It's just so heavy-handed and pretentious and... Oh, look, he's free. He's finally free. And yeah. I don't know. It just felt so stupid and out of context for the rest of the film to me.
And so just like thinking about it, I wonder if that was context for like him shedding the baggage that he had.
I sure it was.
No, like, but his kid, Kyle, the baggage.
Yeah.
And like kind of going in that kind of like just undermines the entire movie, but I can also see in that being a thing.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It just was, again, this weird artsy piece at the end of the movie that I don't think it needed. I don't think it helped. It was not a good scene. At least it gave us some dong. That's the only thing I can say about it.
And so the final scene of the movie is Robin Williams and Bonnie in her apartment, I think.
With Andrew.
With Andrew, and they're eating, and Andrew goes and reaches for a pot brownie without knowing that it's a pot brownie, and
they just kind of chuckle.
Lance and Bonnie kind of shrug and, you know, smirk at each other.
He's going to be sort of a surrogate father to this kid.
Right. And
Andrew's a much better child than his actual son ever was. But, you know, how much of that do you think is Robin Williams' character being such a pushover that he's allowed this kid to be this bad and disrespectful for so long, and it never, like, the kid never gets punished. There's a point where he gets grounded and he just doesn't care and he just ignores it. And he's like, son, you're grounded. You got to send Andrew home. And then he just like, oh, Andrew is going back to his alcoholic mom. And he just manipulates the situation to get what he wants. And he never, like, the kid never gets told no, or when he does, he's able to manipulate the situation. Like, it's the perfect example of a spoiled brat.
Well, and I also think that Robin Williams is so lonely.
Yeah.
That he doesn't want to further push the only person in his life away because he knows his kid's such an asshole.
Yeah.
That, you know, he allows himself to be manipulated because of the uncertainty of the kid reciprocating feelings. And that sucks. And that's a shitty feeling. But I do think that Robin Williams's character allows himself to be a pushover because he's so afraid of losing the only person in his life. So, all right, Jeff.
Hey.
What are your overall thoughts of the movie?
It sounds like
you enjoyed it. You didn't like certain parts.
I really, there's a couple critiques that I would say kept me from loving the movie.
Yeah.
I could, even just with that one scene at the end, if you take that out, I still am kind of not lukewarm, because this movie definitely insists that you have some sort of reaction to it. So I didn't find any of the characters likable except for the neighbor. And it keeps me, when that happens, makes me really not invested in the characters and tends to make me dislike the film. And I don't know what this movie was. And even though I think I know the message it was going for, I don't know that it stuck the landing. But I've never seen a movie like it before. And the plot feels wholly original to a degree. Some of the plot reminds me of Can You Ever Forgive Me, where, you know, the only thing that she was famous for was forging her documents as this aspiring writer. And he's an aspiring writer, and he's famous for forging his son's journal and Suicide Note. So there was some similarities there. I think Can You Ever Forgive Me is a better film. I feel like it left me wanting more direction as to, I don't even know that that's the right word. I just kind of felt conflicted afterwards. Did I like it? I mean, I was really impressed with that kid's performance, but everything else I could kind of leave to a degree.
Yeah, I did enjoy the movie. This is my second time seeing it. I did enjoy Sabara's performance. I thought the Robin Williams performance was kind of different than I had seen. I remember seeing him in, it's because he didn't really have any real comedic value, but he did, he was able to showcase some dramatic element in his acting, and I really enjoyed the, you know, him discovering his kid's death scene, you know. It's because, like, you saw Robin Williams being the actor that I know I've seen Robin Williams can be. I do think that the movie was a bit heavy-handed at different times, that keeps it in my mind from becoming maybe a real, like, cult classic dark comedy. But it also has a message, and whether or not, like, it sticks the landing of the message, you can tell that there is a message here, is that, you know, people are unlikable. And, you know, there are still ways that you can find place in your heart for these unlikable people, especially if they're family. And then, like, especially as a parent, and, like, we're both parents, and you imagine if your kid was as horseshit as this kid was, and, like, what the emotion that would bring is knowing that your kid's a grade A asshole, but you still gotta love him. I don't know. And I could have just been bullshitting there, but I don't know if there was any other way to portray this relationship. Yeah. This lonely man and his asshole son.
Well, and I think the first half of the movie, I'm totally in. Right, I'm in that, like, the character being this pushover with this out of control kid is immensely entertaining. Like, the first half of the movie until the character dies and then the plot actually kind of starts, it is really good and worth watching. It's when that character's gone and that relationship that's been established that it just kind of takes a dump for me.
A chili dog, if you will.
Yeah, lays a chili dog on it.
All right, so do you recommend this one?
No, no, it's a pass. It's not good enough for me to want to recommend.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
I regret watching it, you know?
Right. You know, it's a movie that, like, if you find yourself in front of it, it's like, oh man, this is outrageous and heartfelt, maybe. There's heart in this movie.
There's attempts at it, I think. And it doesn't quite nail it to me. But.
Yeah. Well, so we're gonna give this one a pass.
Yeah. But if it's on TV and it's fine. There's other movies, I guess, but it's not the worst thing.
Certainly not the worst thing we watched this month.
I would say this. If I'm sitting down in a room, I got Prom Night on DVD and I got this on DVD, I'm fucking watching Prom Night again. Get that dance scene in you.
Okay, so what are we watching next week?
We are going to watch a classic. I don't know how classic it is, but it's classic from my childhood. It's The Faculty, where the evil teachers is all I can remember.
it's a Robert Rodriguez. Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah, it's been forever.
It's came out in 98, and it's a Robert Rodriguez film. So, and it stars your boy Josh Hartnett and what's his face?
Yeah, him. He's great. Who are we talking about?
That would be Usher.
Okay. Yes, my boy. Him and I were.
Oh, Elijah Wood's in this. I forgot he was in it.
Is he? Okay. All right. Well, could have done this on Lord of the Rings month then, but alas. Well,
John Stewart, Famke Janssen, Salma Hayek. Damn, who are they? I don't remember any of these people being in this movie.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's. I think at the very least, it'll be a fun watch. At the very least, we'll have a good time. But you'll probably hate it because you don't like fun. And this has come out, you know, over 10 years ago.
Yeah, we got to go to the library, get a projector to watch it.
Hey, that would be dope. That would be dope. Well, if you want to get in touch with Mark because you want to loan him your projector, you can do that on Twitter at I Heard You Liked.
Then make sure you're throwing Jeff a follow on the Twitter at Podcast by Jeff, and you can tell him, hey, man, when are we getting Bobcat Goldthwait chronologically?
I was looking at his filmography here, and he has a movie that I think I was mildly interested in called God Bless America, but I can't remember. I feel like I started, and I could be conflating two different films, but I could be... There was a scene early in the movie, I think, again, could be a different film, where he shoots an infant with a shotgun, and I was out. I was done. Like, oh, this is that
God
kind of movie.
God bless America.
And I turned that shit off. So I don't think I'm going to do Bobcat Goldthwait chronologically, just in case that was the same movie.
Oh, God. Shoots an infant with a shotgun.
Well, I think he does it in his imagination, but it's vividly portrayed on screen.
Well,
I'm gonna see if I can see if that's the scene.
So again, we want to shout out the band Speakeasy with their song "Enemy," and we appreciate them allowing us to use their music on the podcast. Make sure you're checking out the show notes for all their links. That's all I got.
Yep, it was this movie. It was God Bless America. The scene is on YouTube.
Link me.
You want to see this?
We're gonna live.
Oh, we're doing this live. Okay,
yeah, we're live commentary.
You're gonna okay.
Did you send it to me?
Find the link here.
I mean, you just copy and paste the.
I know how to do it, Mark.
Okay. All right. Here we go. God Bless America. Opening scene.
Yeah. That's what I said. I didn't make it far into the movie.
The opening scene. All right. Here we go. All right. Got to watch a Google ad. God damn it.
I don't because I have YouTube Premium.
No shame.
Oh,
they do not care
in the
that I suffer from debilitating migraines and insomnia. Oh. They do not
guy
care
suffers
that
from
I have
debilitating
to go to
migraines and insomnia.
Or that I want to kill.
He's
them.
Given a mono.
To want to kill.
What do you call it?
But I also know.
I think this is
normal,
an ad for
normal
medicine.
I hate that baby.
Oh,
I hate that.
He hates that baby.
Fat.
Yeah, he's
baby's crying.
Face.
Oh, he hates the baby's stupid face.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, he just busted a door down with a shotgun. Oh, single hand cocked it. Oh no. Oh, he shot the table or the TV. Oh, he's not his bro. Oh, cocks the gun again. Oh, kills the dad.
He's not his bro.
Oh. Oh, he's got a baby. Oh, she holds up the baby as like
as a shield.
And then she like throws it up in the air.
Like he like deliberately aims at this fucking movie.
And he's dripping with blood and like his the mom of the baby's mom is like covered in blood. Oh, and the baby cries again.
Yeah, but he is daydreaming. But that was me being done with the film at that point. Well, there you have it. I think we've wrapped it up now.
We'll catch y'all next week.
Bye.